Reformed Church.
You know, we were talking last time, I forget how many messages ago it was, but we were talking about the people of Israel and how they, how the Lord sent, he sent prophets and he sent judges. He sent so many people across their path so that they would be the first people on earth to be able to have the opportunity to receive the good news. Now, we just want to put that in context a little bit so you just think about it. God is revealing himself in that time in history, right? He's revealing himself to no one else, to no one else. People could look at creation and feel like, wow, there's a God, but no one could know the one true God because he wasn't revealing himself to anyone. He was strictly just revealing himself to the Jewish nation, and that's it. No one else, right? Now, the reason why that's important is because when you think about verses that I'll read to you in a second, like out of Hebrews, that says that just as the gospel was preached to us, as it's preached to us today, so was it preached unto them, right? That means that all that God ever wanted for us to do today, all ever wants for us to do today, is for us to believe in the Son that he sent to save us, right? To have faith in Jesus Christ. Not to have faith that tomorrow is going to be a good day, but to have faith in Jesus, right? That he fixed every problem, right? Because he fixed sin, that means he fixed every problem. But if you look at what is it that he wanted the Jewish nation to believe, right? All that he ever wanted, right? If he wants us today to believe in the one that he sent. He says that so many times throughout Scripture, and that even for other people in the world today that don't know him, he continues the same theme, saying that through us that are the light of the world, right? In other words, light being that which makes God manifest, right? Or which makes manifest, but making God manifest in context, right? That we would be the ones that people through the fruit of the Spirit in our lives would be able to see him, right? See the goodness of God, see the power of God working through our lives, and that they would believe also, people that don't know him today, that they would believe in the one that the Father sent. Right? So if that's what God wants today, God wants people to believe in Jesus. For the Jewish nation, it was the exact same thing. He said through their 40 years wandering around in the wilderness, right? He said for 40 years I showed you my signs and my wonders and my works of power. All of that so they would simply believe in a Messiah that the Father would send. In our day today, it's believing in the Messiah that the Father sent 2,000 years ago. For the Jewish nation, they were looking ahead, and he was saying, all I want you to do is believe in the Messiah that I will send. With the same purpose, right? They knew that he would save them, right? I'll just read to you something really, really, really popular, right? That all of us can probably preach lots of, if not the entire several verses, you could probably remember many of them. But Isaiah 53, in verse number 4, it just says about Jesus. Now, this is Isaiah, a prophet to the Jewish nation, right? Isaiah wasn't a prophet to the Gentiles. Isaiah was a prophet to the Jewish nation, right? And he says, surely, speaking of the Messiah that was to come, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, speaking of the Jewish nation, but obviously this is prophetic of the sins of the world, right? He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. So God wanted, as Isaiah was speaking to them and they're hearing this, God wants them, remember, no one else in the whole world is getting this word from Isaiah, just a nation, the Jewish nation, right? And he wants them to take this personally for themselves. He wants them to know he'll be wounded for your transgressions. He's going to be bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace is upon him. Right, will be upon him, and by his stripes you were healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So because of Adam's sin coming into the world, we know that men just went their own way, started becoming idol worshipers, sin came into the world, and death by sin, and all of that mess started happening, right? God said, I'm going to send you a Savior so that even though every one of you, there are none good, Romans says, no, not one, and everyone has gone their own way, the Lord has said, but I have taken your sin, which is the very thing that brought death into your life and has caused all men to go their own way. He said, I have laid on him the iniquity of you all, right? But so he wanted the Jewish people to hear this and to take it personally. Now, that brings us, so that you can kind of put it in context, Isaiah 53, and put this in context to just what we're going to briefly talk about this this evening. In Hebrews chapter 4, and if you just go to, is it Hebrews 4? Let me just see 2 for a second. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. And this is, again, we're reading the book of Hebrews, right? So this is Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, right? Writing a letter to the Hebrews. So again, to his brethren, right? He's writing again to the nation of Israel. And he says to them, because they're familiar with the law that was given by angels and all of that, right? He says to them, therefore, in verse number 1, we must give, meaning all of us, Israel, Hebrews, right? Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away, like we had from the beginning, right? Drift, every man drifting away to his own way. Verse number 2 says, for if the word spoken through angels, talking about the law, proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience to that law received the just reward, how shall we escape? He said, if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by those who heard him. So he starts talking to them like, this gospel that you're hearing now the Lord that you were waiting for has come. He said, if you heard the law and you know that any disobedience to that law was punished, right, under that law, and Pastor Mike's been preaching a whole series on that, right, about where that punishment was coming from. It wasn't in the heart of God to punish, but it was, right, angels were used for that purpose, right? But that's a different, whole different message. But he says here, though, today, after now, your Messiah has come, and this great salvation is available for you. Like, don't miss the word that's being given to you. Like, don't miss the good news that, yeah, you have all gone your own way. But this is not about what you can do, your actions to keep a law. Now he's saying, now this is all about what the Messiah has come to do. He has come to fulfill what Isaiah said, right? He will be bruised for your iniquities, right? He'll take the punishment of your sin upon his own body and all of that, right? So I if we jump then, and I think we're going to finish up here in Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse number 1. Verse number 1 now, if we think about it in this context, right? If we think about the things that Jesus went through on the cross as labor, as work that he did, right? That was his labor in order so that we could be free, right? He went through the suffering that he went through, or that labor, in order for us to be set free. And that's equated, like you know, in scripture to the 7 days that God worked, and then he rested on the seventh day. Jesus worked and labored and actually died on the sixth day, right before the Sabbath, so that we could rest, right? I mean, not rest on Sundays, but obviously have rest in our lives, period, right? Be able to enter into heavenly things, right? Including obviously heaven itself, but heavenly things, right? Verse number 1 says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, which that's equated, you know, in the old covenant to the people entering the land, but we know that that land is entering into the new age, right? Entering into heavenly things, right? The kingdom of God being within us. That's a whole separate message. But it says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, or entering into the labor of Jesus, right? Since the promise remains of entering, let us fear lest any of you, same thing as he was saying in Hebrews chapter 2, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed, listen to what he says, indeed, he's speaking again to the Hebrews, right? He said, indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. So he's saying the gospel is being preached to you right now. It was preached to your ancestors in the wilderness, right? He's saying to the Hebrews, for indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word that they heard, right? It wasn't about what they did at the foot of the mountain. It wasn't about all of the commandments of the law that they broke. He says the one thing that they did wrong, which you'll see here, is they just didn't believe the word of God. They didn't believe in the Messiah, the gospel, the good news that he gave them about a Messiah that was coming, right? They just didn't believe it, right? They didn't believe it, and because of that unbelief, and you'll see it in a second. It says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, right? The only reason that it's saying that they weren't profited by the Lord, that he could not be a prophet to them, is just because they would not believe. It says, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. I'll read that verse to you again, verse number 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed, now he brings it to them and also speaking about himself. Now we who have believed do enter that rest. So obviously, you know that it's not talking about the land of Canaan, because that's in the past for these Hebrew people, right? The land of Canaan was already entered to by the second generation that was in the wilderness. He's not talking about going to a piece of dirt, right? He's talking about entering into the rest of the labor of God, which is actually that great salvation that he was talking about in chapter 2. So he said, so I swore in my wrath, it says, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he who has spoken of a certain place on the seventh day, well, we won't go into that. But you know the thought that I just want to leave you with just this evening as we get ready for service is, you know, there is a gospel, you know, that's being preached to us continually, right? And a gospel that you want people that don't know the Lord to also hear. But, you know, it just as good as it is to speak to someone that doesn't know Jesus and just to tell them, listen, there's one thing that God wants you to do. I know that you've heard that there's lots of stuff that you have to do, that you have to straighten out your life, that you have to get everything together, that you have to be a good boy and girl, right? But that's, God is not demanding any of those things, because that's cleaning the outside of the cup, which does nothing for the inside, right? All that the Lord is saying is hear, and he's been saying this, my God, since how many thousands of years is he talking about when he makes reference to the unbelief in the wilderness, 40 years of them wandering around, right? I mean, this is thousands and thousands. Since after Adam's sin, the Lord has been preaching the same good news gospel, which is, you know what? There's either, in their time, there's either a Messiah that's coming, believe in the Messiah that is to come, and I can profit you even today. Abraham lived before, right? David, King David lived before the Messiah. Many, many men and women of God, Enoch, lived before the Messiah, yet they were profited, right? Abraham in his old age was able to have a son, right? Sarah in her old age was able to have a son, right? They received rejuvenation in their bodies. They received healing. But how could they have been profited when the Messiah hadn't even come? Because it's by faith that you're profited. Not whether you're in front of the cross or behind it. It's by faith that we're profited, right? So for us that know the Lord, it's awesome to know that, you know what, the same way we were saved is the same way that the Lord wants us to live, so we don't get caught up in thinking that it's about works or it's about anything else, right? And for people that don't know the Lord, to be able to make sure that's the only thing that we're sharing with people is, you know what, it is not about what you have done. It's not about what you're going to do. It's not about what you're going to try to do for him, right? It's just about what he has done for you. I'll read you one last thing, Psalm 95. Psalm 95, just so I think it's kind of applicable here. Psalm 95. Just a really good little wrap to what we're saying here. Psalm 95 in verse number 7. 7 is good. Psalm 95, 7. It says, for he is our God. And again, we're reading, these are psalms. I don't know if this specific one, let me see, Psalm 95, that doesn't say, but these are psalms where the majority of them were written by King David, a man that lived believing in Jesus before the name Jesus was ever even known, right? Obviously, we've said it before, they believed in a Messiah, but they didn't know his name was Jesus. They just knew he was a Messiah that was to come, a Savior. But it says, so the psalmist wrote, he says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, he said, if you will hear his voice, so that you can see just the good news, what is God requiring of me? People ask that all the time. What does God want from me, right? Here's what it is. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion, which is that the 40 years, right? As in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers, speaking about the mistake that their ancestors made, right? When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years, he says, I was grieved with that generation. And I said, it is a people who go astray in their heart, right? In their heart. Their mistake was not that the things that they did wrong in action. It's just that they would not believe in their mind, right? He says, and they do not know my ways. He says, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So God couldn't profit them, even though he wanted to. And what was the only thing that he was trying to do? give them the gospel. Today, it's the identical situation, right? What is it that God wants to do? He wants to profit us in every single way, right? What is the only thing that he's asking us to do? Believe in the one that I have sent, right? And if we can start there, right, it's a beautiful thing.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.